Welcome to the Working Genius Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything related to the six types of working genius and how it impacts your work and your life. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by my regular crew today, Cody Thompson. How's it going, Cody?
Doing well.
That's happy to good. Be here. Yeah. Tracy Noble, how are you doing?
I'm great.
All right. And Matt, not of the head, Matt not on mic, our engineer. So we're going to talk about something I think very important today. What is it, Cody?
The title is A Cure for Team Toxicity.
Yeah, we really struggled with that toxicity. We thought we'd go with that. Team, you know, dysfunction, dissolution, toxicity, whatever we call it. There's something out there that destroys teams. And it's very common, very dangerous. And we think that Working Genius provides a wonderful solution. And what we're talking about is something called the fundamental attribution error, which I've talked about on other podcasts before. But it's so important to understand this because it's very natural. The fundamental attribution error is simply this. It sounds very complex, I know, and I learned about it in social psychology when I was in college, but it's really simple. And that is, we tend to attribute other people's behavior that annoys us a little bit. We make an attribution that that's a fundamental internal issue that they have, that they have a real problem. However, when we do things that annoy other people, we attribute it to our environment. So essentially, we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, but other people we convict of having a real problem. Of course, this is the kind of judgment that leads to terrible problems on teams. And people are making assumptions about one another that aren't helpful. And eventually, this causes great strife on teams. Finally, the best way I can describe the fundamental attribution error, and then we'll dive into all this, is thinking about driving down the freeway and somebody cuts you off. And you think, what a jerk that guy is. Man, I can't believe he's so rude. I can't believe there are people in the world like this. That guy has a terrible problem. I bet his wife and his kids are miserable. And then the next day we're driving down the highway and we cut somebody off. And we think, oh my gosh, I'm just stressed today. I don't know where I'm going and this is hard. And I'm sure they'll understand because I'm just having a difficult day. So we'll convict someone else of having a fundamental issue, but we ourselves give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. And the best solution to overcoming this is what St. Francis of Assisi said, and that's seek to understand people more than to be understood. And we think that Working Genius is a great way to seek to understand. So with that, I'll throw it out there, Cody and Tracy. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. Well, you know, your example, I actually commit the fundamental attribution error at least every other day. Here's how it plays out for me. And that is when I'm around other people with young kids and their kids are acting up, I'm like, boy, they need some real, those parents are not very good. They're not very disciplined. And now every day when my kids are yelling and screaming and being wild, I'm like, boy, these kids are out of control. You know, it has nothing to do with my parenting. It has everything to do with the fact that there's something wrong with these kids and I need somebody other than me to take responsibility for that. But I think you're totally right. I mean, that's what we do all the time is we make a attribution to someone's character and then we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. And like you said, the reason that we call this the cure for team toxicity, this is one of the ways that undermines teamwork most often on teams that we run into. So the team members have made these attributions against one another and have said like, oh, that person is this, rather than seeking to understand. They're like, they start labeling or make attributions to their character that are really hard to undo.
Yeah. And you know, one of the biggest, we talk about this, I'm writing the book right now and I'm writing about this and we've talked about this before too. And that is the thing we do, the attribution we make to others is that one, they're lazy. Mm-hmm. It's like, why don't they do that? They must be lazy or they don't care or they're just not very smart because we all go about getting things done differently. And to one person, it might look lazy but to another person, they're being really thoughtful. Or one person might not be great at coming up with a new idea, but they're great at pushing things through to get them done. But if they don't do it like we do it, we assume that they either don't care, they're lazy, they're not smart. And that is a horrible assumption to come to. And I love your example, Cody, because we all do it. Mm-hmm. And the way to overcome this is not just to say, I need to stop doing that. It's to replace that attribution with knowledge. And that knowledge is, oh, Tracy is different than I am in her gifts, in the way she works. If I understand that, I don't even have permission to come to her. I'm not even going to be tempted to make that false attribution.
Yeah, you know what, Pat? We just had this situation this week in the office. We were having a meeting just yesterday, and Matt was in our meeting. Matt is one of our colleagues. He's our producer here. And Matt is a WD.
Right. And wonder and discernment.
Yes. And we were having this really intense conversation, and it appeared that Matt was fully checked out of the meeting. And we thought, you know, what's wrong with him? He's totally checked out. He's not interested. And you actually checked in with him. And it wasn't that he was checked out. He was just in his head. He was wondering about what we were discussing, but it was so important that you checked in with him because we were both thinking it.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, so often in society, we say, well, don't say anything because that could be uncomfortable. And then we allow ourselves to just go with whatever attribution we're making.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, so, hey, are you having a hard time? Is this not interesting? And he was like, no, why? Oh, because you're not giving a lot of feedback. And he goes, yeah, I'm just totally processed. And when we ask him, he has really good thoughts. Mm-hmm. But just by watching him, we wouldn't know that that's what's going on. What's interesting, Tracy, is Matt is a WD mm-hmm. and you are a DE. So the difference is you both have discernment. So you're both in this meeting really discerning.
Yep.
But Matt's discernment is geared toward wonder and mm-hmm. like asking questions. Yours is geared toward enablement, which is helping the people in the room arrive at something. So you're smiling and nodding and encouraging enablement. Yep. Matt is in his head asking questions, wonder. Yep. They just seem different to the outside world. But by understanding that, you avoid the misattribution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, I want to get into how, you know, working genius is a cure for this. But before that, I think we can go a little deeper on why this is so harmful for teams. And it's not unrelated to the idea that at the bottom of the teamwork pyramid, you know, the very fundamental basis of teamwork is vulnerability-based trust. And what the fundamental attribution error does to undermine that is it starts fermenting these preconceived ideas about how our team member is showing up and totally undermines our ability to be vulnerable.
Yep.
And so it starts like entrenching these narratives in our own minds and hearts about, oh, that person, you know, Matt didn't show up well to that meeting. He's not interested in what we're doing. I'm going to go ahead and make that his whole person. Like I'm going to mm-hmm. attribute that. That's how he shows up. He doesn't actually care. He's totally checked out. And that is really, really dangerous. And almost, it's very, very difficult to overcome that and start to build trust unless you have a tool that can help us explain this better.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Cody, because it is that dangerous. Because we will run with one of those misattributions and that will become our narrative. And that does real damage to the people on the team who are unfairly judged and won't even understand why. And to the team itself that starts to break apart, all because we assumed we knew what was going on. And rather than question that narrative or try to understand what's going on, we just decide, well, I'm going to be nice and not say anything and go and tell people, I don't think this guy cares, or I don't think she's very bright. Because like sometimes the bright one comes about when you're working with somebody, and let's just say, I'm an inventor, right? I love to come up with new ideas. And if I go to somebody and I say, hey, what do you think? What should we do about this problem? And they say, I don't know. I'm like, man, she really lacks intellectual capacity. It's like, no, dummy. She's just not an inventor. Mm-hmm. Just like if we go to you and ask you to enable something, you're going to be terrible. And people will say, he's just not nice mm-hmm. because he doesn't do enablement. So it's so important that we avoid this, because the damage is far more than just not getting a project done. It really hurts people at their core because we reject them for the wrong reason.
Yeah. And so the idea is, prior to even working genius, we had found a few other ways of helping people like understand how they're wired or how they're showing up. And it was really critical to help teams overcome this fundamental attribution error. And I remember one story. So this wasn't working genius related, but this is the outcome of being able to avoid the fundamental attribution error. Is The story that you told Pat, you told me, and maybe you've said it a few times, is about the CFO who was really, really tight with money. Tell us that story, because I think that that shows, hey, if you're able to uncover the wiring underneath someone, how it alleviates that on the team and starts to build trust and vulnerability.
Yeah. And this was a guy, this was more about his personal background that people didn't understand, right? So there was the CFO of a team. He didn't trust anyone on the team with the money, with their budgets. He was like, micromanaged them, was really paranoid. It annoyed them. They felt untrusted, and they didn't like the guy very much because of that, which is understandable. Well, then we did this thing called the personal histories exercise, and we just asked people like, so what was it like growing up for you? Very light stuff. And he goes, well, we were really poor. I mean, we were so poor that we didn't have indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse outside. And we also, often our electricity went out. So we would find ourselves with no electricity, outdoor plumbing. We were dirt poor. We thought the guy grew up in the 1850s, not the 1950s. And somebody said to him, is that why you don't trust us with the money? He goes, oh yeah, you guys, I'm so afraid of poverty and I don't want the team to lack money. I don't want my life to lack money. So I'm really, really paranoid about finances. And suddenly they went from, you're a jerk who doesn't trust us, to, oh, we understand why you're the way you are. And then they could have the conversation and the team came back together. They respected one another. They actually had empathy for one another purely because they had a little bit more knowledge. What right. Working Genius does is it actually is even more fundamental. It's how you're wired to get things totally. Done.
Yeah. And like I said, there's a lot of ways to maybe uncover that. But what makes Working Genius so unique in this is that it's really straightforward. And there's so many attributions that we make to our team members or to people in our lives around, I mean, you could go through every letter and just say, oh, hey, have I ever met someone who didn't have wonder? And I thought, they're not very thoughtful or deep. Yeah, certainly I have. Or have I ever met someone who didn't have invention and thought, they're not very bright, right? But this allows us to come to the table and say, hey, you know, I can tell you that I know attributions that people have made towards me on different teams that I've worked for. And until I had Working Genius, it was hard to explain, but I have very little tenacity. And there have been multiple teams that I've worked on that thought, boy, he's not that thorough. He's kind of lazy. He doesn't get his projects in on time. And it was really, really hard because I cared a lot about what we were doing. I was really invested in everything that was going on our teams and company and at our company. But it was really difficult for me to do some tenacity work to push projects through. And it was giving off the wrong interpretation to my team members.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's funny. You can almost go through every letter and see some of the most common misattributions. Like you said, a person doesn't have W. My gosh, I don't know if they're very deep. You know, I think if they don't have I or D, sometimes you go, well, they're not very smart. If they don't have G, they're like, gosh, they're not really interested in this and passionate. If they don't have E, they're not very nice and helpful. And if they don't have T, they're lazy and flaky. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes we are lazy and flaky. Sometimes we are do those things, but that doesn't mean it's we need to understand when it's our wiring versus my wife saying, get your butt out of bed. You got to go mow the lawn. And then she's right. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Not that she would say that because she's so nice.
But yeah.
Well, but that's a great point, Cody. There's so many easy ways that we misunderstand one another and being able to attribute it to how they're wired makes all the difference.
And Tracy, just yesterday, we got a really cool email from a listener, right? Who was actually talking about this very thing. And it wasn't, we already kind of had this topic teed up, but this listener, tell us about his story because it is fully in line with what we're talking about.
This is great.
Yeah, his story. So he's a pastor and he took the Working Genius months and months ago, and he took some time off to reflect on his type and his team's type. And he realized he had an issue with one of his colleagues, and his colleague happened to be a WD. And he just thought that he was slow and lazy. And this guy, this pastor, I believe he was an IG. And
he was a WG.
I'm sorry?
I think he was a WG. Oh, no, you know something?
He was an IG.
You know why I thought that? Because he put WG in his thing and he meant Working Genius.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Silly me.
He was an IG. So he had a lot of energy and he's a disruptor. You know, he's very disruptive. And he was making these false attributions about his colleague. And he came back after taking time off, and their relationship has been fully transformed. And their church has been fully transformed because of this realization. Right. Such a cool story.
You know, and Tracy, what I love about that, so this guy's a Catholic priest. The other colleague happened to be his associate priest. So like, there's this big church, and they have two priests there. And the two priests were not getting, they weren't understanding each other, and they were making false accusations. They weren't doing it in a mean way.
No.
They were just frustrated at each other for the wrong reasons. And how, think about the impact that's going to have on all the people at that church.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the other thing that, as you told that story, I was just thinking, like, Pat, you just went through each of the letters and how we can make a false attribution to someone based on each letter, but you can actually do it all the other ways that we've cut up the model, which is you just, this guy is a IG, an inventor galvanizer, which is disruptive, disruptive.
Yes.
You know, and that means that they often like to move fast and they disrupt all the time. Whereas the WD is responsive, responsive, and that maybe there's a little bit of a breathing process, a little bit of a slower way of approaching their work. So you could make an attribution that way of saying, hey, that person's not very quick. They're not quick to get things done. They're not very, you know, passionate. Maybe they're a little slow. Or, you know, you think of the altitudes that we've talked about here. You could potentially say, oh, that person's way down in the weeds, or that person's so far up in the clouds that they can't get any work done. I mean, any way you cut it, you can make a false attribution against somebody else. But if you know they're working genius, it gives you such handles to say, oh, that's how they're wired. That's okay. I can go into this conversation and understand that it's very likely that this GT person I'm going to talk with is going to be more in the weeds, or more in the tactical side of the work, you know?
You know, it's funny. The IG,
that's great.
Yeah. And Cody, the IG is very frequently misunderstood. A good friend of mine is coming to visit in a few minutes, and he's an IG. And so imagine this priest that's an IG. They are so disruptive and so excited to share their new ideas and to convince people to start moving that they actually, all the IGs we know come across as a little bit insincere, like they're oversellers. And some of my favorite people in the world are IGs. We have their names on a board here. And yet almost every single one of them I had misattributed as inauthenticity when I first met them. I thought there's no way a person could be this hyped up, this excited all the time. They must be faking it. And so this WD, which is a really thoughtful type, really nuanced in their thinking, an IG is going to rub them the wrong way because they're going to be like, no, we can do it. We don't need more data. Let's just go. And the WD is going to be like, well, so one of them has probably thought, you're a careless fake. The other one is like, you're slow, lazy, and aren't involved. And that there's no way you're going to succeed if two people are thinking those things.
No.
And now they think, oh, I like the fact that you're different than I am. Let's work with that.
Yeah. And it really is. It's hard to stress how often we've gone into teams and seen something as simple as this fundamental attribution error completely undermine all their efforts. And really what this is about is when we're with teams, Pat, we're basically introducing vulnerability. And oftentimes it's just dipping your toe into the like pool of vulnerability so that we can eventually wade in a little deeper. And what Working Genius does is it allows you to do that, be vulnerable in a really straightforward and relatively safe way to say, hey, this is how I'm wired. And this is how I show up, and it might rub people the wrong way, but I need you to understand that this is the way that that God wired me. And if you don't, you could probably make some bad judgments about who I am.
Yeah. You know, my favorite story about the fundamental attribution error and Working Genius, because when it applies to a marriage, it's so costly, about the guy who wrote to us and said, I thought my wife didn't like me.
Yeah.
And we were like, what? And he laughed and he goes, no, I kind of did. Because every time he was an I, and every time he came up with an idea, she was a D, a discerner, she would critique it. Not criticize it, but to him, he felt like she just rains on every parade I have, tells me why something isn't going to work. And on their anniversary, their wedding anniversary, they did Working Genius. And she said, I do that because I love you, because I'm a discerner. And I want to make sure your ideas will work and that it won't be painful. And he went from thinking she didn't like him kind of to the fact that she was just using the gifts God gave her to make his life better. I mean, that's crazy, but think about how fundamental that shift is. That's a beautiful
I love it. Story. I emailed, his name is Heath. I emailed Heath the other day and he wrote back this big long email and you can tell he's an inventor of like he just loves it. And so it's amazing that they get that level of clarity and get that understanding of one another because it really does make all the difference.
Yeah, that's great. Alrighty, well, that's the end of our podcast today. We want you to avoid team toxicity by overcoming the fundamental attribution error, and the Working Genius tool is a great way to do that. We love hearing from you. Let us know if you have any stories that resonate with you about this. But that's it for today. We're going to wrap it up and we'll see you next time. God bless.